the proportion of the variance
explained
that,
by the measure.
Yeah, that's by the code that's attributable to what they're taking into account in their risk adjustment was like 0.11. So basically, you know, it was sort of
0.11% or 11%?
0.011.
So 1.1% R squared.
Right.
And is that accurate? That can't
and
be
the
accurate.
It did not explain the variance.
What?
The risk model did not adequately explain the variance.
Right. And the C statistic showed that it was, you know, if a 0.5, it would say it's, you know, little better than chance. And I think the C statistic here, I can't remember, was very low. It was certainly below chance. So just the risk adjustment methodology alone, I think, makes this a totally, unfortunately, unacceptable measure. And I also look forward to having some standardized
next one down
cross-setting ways of looking at functional status.
Can you read that?
Yeah, the C statistic was quality of measure mobility this time.
So the two reviewers have recommended that the vote be to not pass the measure. Anyone want to ask questions as to how to elevate it to a higher level? So we have before us. Yes.
No, is R squared of the risk adjustment the effectiveness of the measure or of the risk adjustment portion of the measure? Looking at CMS, is this? Do you guys do this now? Do you report this measure now in 2.0?
It is part of the current measure. I don't know if it's
looks
publicly
like the testing
reported.
Hadn't been done.
The testing had not been done on the MDS 3.0 with the exception of what Saliba and Buchanan did in developing the 3.0. There was a desire in the 3.0 to change some of the function measures, but that presented an issue for the states that depend on these data for their payment. So the measures are essentially the same. I mean, the items are essentially the same between 2.0 and 3.0. So even though there's not been testing on the 3.0, we don't anticipate that there would be much difference because the items are essentially the same.
So there are two issues that came up, both of which are unclear to me at least. One was a sort of a potential definitional mismatch between the numerator and denominator. Did I get that right? The wording is slightly different, even though it's implied that it's the same. And the other that I actually think may be less of an issue is that risk adjustment doesn't help.
Risk adjustment does not help.
But that doesn't mean the measure doesn't work. It just means risk adjustment proved superfluous or ineffective at increasing the precision of the measure.
Yes.
But what I don't understand from this, and I think we have to look to you because we're not technical experts on the measure, is what is it in the underlying measure without risk adjustment that is compelling?
What is, you mean in terms of...
you don't like the way I ask questions, I can tell.
No.
Is there anything salvageable out of this measure? If you drop risk adjustment, is the measure still work?
If you drop risk adjustment, it works or it doesn't work just as well as it works or doesn't work currently.
What the Colorado study said is risk adjustment did not make the measure better, so
that's
we should ignore risk adjustment. But that doesn't, I think, talk to the underlying measure.
If I could, the underlying measure, just you asked about elevating this measure, I think the issue is the percentage of residents for whom the primary mode of mobility was ambulation who lose that ability. So that the problem is we're comparing mobility, ambulation and wheelchair mobility, again, on an equal level. And in point of fact, Arlene, if you go back to what you said, it's even worse because if they go from walking with assist to being in a wheelchair independent, that's an improvement in this measure. So to me, the means by which you look at this is those individuals for whom primary mode of mobility was ambulation who see a change in that, either more assist or to an assistive device in the form of a wheelchair.
I'm not concerned about the risk adjustment. I'm concerned about the mismatch, which is essentially what you just described, the mismatch between the definitions and the sort of funny things that are happening in the denominator.
You mean the inclusion of both wheelchair and self-ambulation?
The potential for someone to move from walking to wheelchair being a good thing.
Can I ask a painfully simple question, I think? Is there any evidence that this measure works?
Well, there some of the evidence. It works in what way? Works to
any way.
Any way
you want to design it. Is there a way to salvage this message? It's going down in flames.
Yeah,
do you want the measure to live? Give us an idea on how to do it.
I will make one last.
We are pulling the plug.
Okay.
The family meeting is in the ICU right now.
So here's
the
struggle.
Do we pull the plug or not?
Here is the struggle, and in some ways it's somewhat analogous, but perhaps not as good as the ADL. That mobility is an important issue. Loss of mobility, loss of any kind of autonomy and independence in long-term facilities is an issue. These are the items we have. And so we are trying to propose a way of measuring mobility given the items that we currently have. Is it ideal? No. Is there another way that we would like to measure mobility? Yes. These are the data. There is an area that's of importance, and we laid out very frankly, this is why it's important, this is the data we're using, and these are the issues that have emerged when this measure has been looked at. We have not uncovered as much as we can. Are we concerned about this measure? Definitely. Do we appreciate this discussion? Absolutely. And that's as far as I can try to salvage your pulling the plug on as I go down in flames.
I hope you do two things. I hope you fix the MDS 4 so that
you've got the right people in the room.
So
to
that
listen.
The definition, if there is, if we're understanding what I think the experts have conveyed, there may be a sort of a mismatch in the numerator and denominator that could lead to unintended consequences of rewarding people for getting from walking to wheelchair and some other mismatch issues that have more to do with the validity. So I hope you don't like stop reporting it. On the other hand, I don't know what the vote will be. And
and I'll just say in the interest of CPR that I don't like it. But if we go to just the issue of from a quality of life standpoint, does an individual have the means by which to get themselves from point A to point B independently, whatever that means is, there is some merit, you know, in the fact that the individual continues to remain at whatever level of independence, because sometimes being in a chair independent is better than walking dependently. Those situations definitely arise. So if we look at it just from that quality measure, does the individual possess the autonomy to move in the most independent way, then I can see some utility. But at the same time, I feel very strongly that this comparison of level of mobility is wrong and distorted.
And I agree with that, but also keep in mind that this is looking at a population. It's unlikely that a lot of the residents that we're looking at in the number will have changed from walking with assistance to independence in a wheelchair. So I think there's some wiggle room within that percentage not to get too all wrapped up with. You think it's going to happen frequently?
I think the potential is for it to happen frequently. I think, and particularly when that change demonstrates improvement. So yes, I think the potential is there. I believe today that there are too many people in wheelchairs in nursing homes. And so I think the potential definitely is there to overutilize wheelchairs as we see it today.
So, yeah, I guess my points were going to be the same, that, you know, whether regardless of functional status, residents are given a wheelchair upon the time that they're moving in. And so how do we really look at this indicator in a way that we prevent that from happening, as well as in a way that we can reward and recognize and look at ways that organizations are trying to get residents out of wheelchairs today?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I don't think – I mean, this measure has been with us for some time now. I don't think that it has been a cause of putting residents into wheelchairs, and I don't think its absence – will cause residents to come out of wheelchairs.
I agree with you.
So I understand the flaws to the measure, but, I mean, at this point, I think it's been fairly workable up to this point, and the changes are not all that significant with MDS-3. I think it's still a flawed but usable measure.
And I don't disagree with that. I think what might change getting residents out of wheelchairs is a different measure that says if they used if their primary mode of mobility was ambulation, that their primary mode of mobility continues to be ambulation, or that we move them toward that. So I'm just saying I think a different measure could influence it. I agree that this measure, one way or the other, probably won't.
I just want to point out something. I mean, we talked about the risk adjustment, but there are really reliability problems with this measure, too. I mean, they, when APT did their test, they said a 10% discrepancy rate would be good, and they had an over 30% discrepancy rate. So I think this is, I totally agree. I think we absolutely need a measure that addresses this, but I think it's probably worth waiting for working very vigorously toward a better measure.
I'm going to go further. If you say, look, if you don't approve it, we're going to stop putting it out there, then I'm going to vote for it. So I would rather you continue until you have a better measure. But I don't – do you guys think this meets the gold standard of what we want to do for ambulation? Because if we approve this one, the chances that we'll look at another ambulation measure – you know what I mean? There's an either-or effect at the National Quality Forum that I don't know how it plays in.
Before CMS answers that, just so you realize, you can criticize Bill and I for being asleep at the switch at the last Nursing Home Steering Committee meeting. I think we're the only two on the previous panel, right? You know, as was pointed out, we didn't have all the depth, reliability, and validity testing at that time, so a lot of the votes were based on the merit of the topic. We now have the luxury of knowing more about the validity and reliability. I think this sounds very similar to the staffing. We all desperately want to see a staffing measure, but we just didn't feel comfortable with what we saw in the staffing measure. I think Dee Dee's pointing out that now that we've seen some reliability, just because it's out there, whether they're going to drop it or not, the reliability testing that was done is very similar on the items that exist out there now, and we're getting – am I wrong, Dee Dee, on this? So what you're saying is if you're going to vote to keep the existing measure, you're voting to keep an existing – you might as well vote to pass this measure because the existing measure is just as flawed as this measure.
Yeah, I personally think we're better with this measure than the absence of any measure based on what Robert, I believe, said, that they actually look at the measure, they dig in, and they say, well, was this our fault or not our fault? I think the question for me is, so I hope CMS continues to put it out there, but the question for me is this the gold standard that we want to set potentially? Because I think the tail is going to wag, I think nursing homes are the tail that are going to wag the dog on this measure for the rest of healthcare. Is this the measure that we want to hang our hat on?
I believe, and CMS will answer this question, but I believe when MDS switches over to 3.0, the 2.0 measures will be sunset for those, unless those that immediately crosswalk over with minor changes that don't have to come back for review as new measures. So this has come back as a new measure for review and approval here. So that probably would mean that the existing measure would sunset and go away. Oh, they can keep. They can still use.
It just won't have the endorsement. It won't. The gold standard.
Yeah.
It won't have any data though.
Yeah.
It
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, there are hundreds of, not hundreds, lots of measures that are used in the survey process. There's lots of measures used elsewhere. There's all sorts of stuff. But if they want to put something on Nursing Home Compare, they essentially, there's loopholes, as always, there's essentially needs consensus endorsement. NQF is the most convenient, broadest consensus endorsement process.
I just want to make a comment. The main issues were of independence and dependence, and I think as was pointed out, actually, if the denominator can be refined in terms of taking people who can walk on their own or who have the ability to self-propel the wheelchair, that could be one kind of denominator, and then the rest would be obviously dependence in terms of whether it's assist or propelled. I mean, I think if the denominator can be refined, I think it's a very important question to address. So it would be a good quality indicator straight away, knowing that how many functional people or mobile persons are there in a nursing home.
CMS, the parents of the child on life support, would you like to make a comment?
So, where do I start with this response? I think, let me start by saying, even given the caveat that one of the criteria that NQF sets before us is that the measure be publicly reportable, we recognize the limitations of the measure that's before you. So I don't know if, you know, what wiggle room you have to consider this measure on its merit as it stands before you, because we recognize this is not the measure. This is not the measure that we would like to hang our hats on to report change that is meaningful for the nursing home residents. But we will need the opportunity to go ahead and test the MDS data, the 3.0 data, and, you know, given your feedback, construct a measure that actually may achieve what we're hoping to convey. And take that for what it's worth, but that's my response.
Sherry, do you need the limited NQF endorsement to do that testing?
I suppose we can proceed even without. Yeah, we would bring it forward, bring a new measure forward in the next go-around. Is that Helen? Would we be able to bring a new measure forward in the next go-around?
We would like the
next go-around, but when the MDS data are available?
It sounds like there's going to be need to do that because you're going to be doing a lot of testing on the MDS 3.0 anyway.
So
I just think that,
in
general, you guys are welcome to iterate on this measure as long as you'd like and get it right and bring it back in. You know, just the issue is it sounds like you're not ready to publicly report this measure anyway. So why seek endorsement if it's not ready for prime time, I guess would be my argument.
Yeah.
Was it your intention to put it on Compare?
The intent for the gold standard measure that we will create would be to publicly report it.
But
now, would we? I believe this measure is being publicly reported as part of nursing
home. In 2.0, it is my understanding.
Right. So then, you know, I would say that we would not need the time limited endorsement to proceed with the testing. Right.
Given the, I don't know how to salvage this, so it's going to be an interesting vote. I will, given the discussion and sort of following the NQF sort of standards for how and what we've talked about for other measures, I would say that at least I will put out for vote that this measure not pass. And if we decide that that doesn't pass the vote, people want to see it pass, then we'll have to frame another dialogue on how to make it pass.
Can I just ask a quick process type question? Yeah. Assume it goes down. CMS reworks it. When could they get something NQF approved that looks, you know, when is the earliest that could happen?
It's not exactly clear. I mean, I think part of it depends how long it's going to take to rework this measure. It's not clear to me. The other possibility is this something you could give conditional approval and over the next month or so they bring it back to us? I just don't know how much life support this is on, to continue your analogy, and how much it could be tweaked to make it work for the cycle while they work towards a better, it sounds like the better measure isn't even this one necessarily. So the question is, can they tweak this one enough to make it acceptable in the short term while they develop the better measure that
Helen,
can follow in a year or two?
Could we, there's sort of two choices. One would be to vote on a yes-no on the proposal, and then a yes-no on a 12-month limited, which I'm still, I really don't want to see the measure completely go away, personally, while they work it out, because I think they will. That's a needless gap. There's another option if CMS wants it, which is when we do our conference call, could we, as opposed to waiting, would anything change enough between now and when we do our conference calls in the next 3 months?
That's what
that would allow
means.
You to bring the measure back, as a, because you may want to go for the full 3-year endorsement as opposed to some 12-month thing we could get out of here now.
My concern is if we do this, why didn't we do something like this in staffing yesterday? Because we nixed staffing because of the same issues. And we did not say staffing was any less important. We knew it was. And this is, it, to me, this is saying this is not apples and apples, and I think it is. I don't think it's apples and oranges. I think we've got apples and we've got apples. Today we got Delicious and we've got Jonathan, but we still got apples. Otherwise, we're saying that this issue is so much different than staffing, and truly, in my heart, I don't think so.
To my earlier comments about the importance of the data source, there was a law passed that I think changed the staffing question fundamentally for me. I'm not going to speak for everyone on the panel. But when the federal government said, CMS, you will collect and report data on staffing, that made the issue very different for me than this one.
There is no federal law. I mean, with the staffing, there is a federal law that's going to mandate lots of the most comprehensive staffing data we've ever had. And CMS has been working on that since the 90s. So there is no parallel here. There is no federal law that mandates data of this sort be reported, which is why I think you're seeing a different reaction. But I do think there's a real urgency that NQF have a staffing measure, for sure. But it just, if we went with the one, you know, so that's the reason I think the two are getting different treatment, not because they're different issues, just because there's that federal law out there.
Our vote's not on the importance. Yesterday we conceded that everything was really important. It's clear that this is really important topic, like staffing and many other topics. We could equally vote on nursing home caps. I think all of us would vote that nursing home caps is an important thing. We could vote to pass it right now without even looking at it. I think
that's right.
I guess we do have NQF does have a process. We have criteria here. We've sort of, you know, wiggled away from a lot of the criteria here, and that we haven't gone through each of the things. We got four conditions: the scientific aspect, importance of it, the usability and the feasibility. And, I think what we need to sort of somewhat adhere to that process and try to figure out how to vote on this as a measure up and down, because it's not just about how NQF is going to use this measure. Remember, in Rhode Island, we publicly report measures independent of CMS, and we rely on NQF measures. So this is, NQF is not an endorsement for CMS and what it is. And also, once the measure is endorsed by NQF, we lose control of it. And, you know, people can do whatever, we can do whatever we want with it. And we do. We don't play with the specifications or anything, but we play with how we compare, we can play with how we frame it and discuss it in Rhode Island, different from CMS, because I disagree how CMS does it. So we do that, but that's not part of the approval process here.
I just think one suggestion, given the amount of discussion going on in that back row, it sounds like it's not clear what the next step is. And one option would be to just defer this, don't vote on this today. They've heard all the comments about this measure. Let them see what is doable to bring back to you on conference call and just not vote on it today. And I would actually make
that's my recommendation.
Would you like to withdraw this measure for our review?
They just
withdraw it for right now.
It's not necessary. It's purely that the committee can vote to defer it until clearly CMS has heard and RTA has heard the issues. Can they try to build a better mousetrap to address some of these issues, bring back to you? And frankly, if you wanted to do the same thing on staffing, that's an option as well.
All in favor of deferring the measure till some future date? Kick the can down the road? Okay. Anyone abstaining? Anyone opposed? Okay. Thank you.
May I ask a question then? I'm thinking of the pain measures. And the opportunity to review those with a different...
I think the pain measures fall very close into this category. They got a little bit higher, but if you read our recommendations, the tone and effort was very similar with the pain measures. And I think there's other sets of measures. I think it's clear that we would like to see other measures, other stuff, and continued effort. A vote of not passing or even the limitation is that this should not stop. We strongly encourage pursuing. We strongly encourage CMS to continue to support measure development and expansion of the measures that are out there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The CMS pain or the other?
The pain's passed. They're time limited with about five conditions.
No public
reporting and five conditions listed on there.
Yeah, but we can't. Okay.
Yeah, we'll follow up. Yeah, it'll be interesting CSAC discussion. It's not over yet. We still have some more time on this. So that concludes going through all the measures. I want to thank you all for a robust discussion on the last one. A lot of energy for a day and a half. I wanted to take – what time is it? We still have a little time. Just a quick moment to go around the table again and hear from you – now that you've had a chance to reflect overnight, any additional measures to the comments that you wanted to add in before from yesterday? You don't have to reiterate everything you said yesterday. We already got that there. If you have something new, it is fully appropriate to say pass. I don't have anything new, and there's not, doesn't make you look bad. You don't feel compelled that you have to speak at the mic. Do you have something to add, Lisa, or do you have something different?
Well,
if it's something to add, I'm just going to go around. You'll get your chance.
Oh no, I think I have to leave in a moment,
Okay.
And I was just going to announce that I'm passing around something. Just the yesterday I talked about antipsychotics, and I sent around a white paper by email to everyone. These are the talking points that I wrote. These will give you a quick summary of the white paper. Any improperly stated items are attributable to me only. And the white paper is by Stephen Crystal and Judy Lucas. They're both at Rutgers. And so just very briefly, the high points of this are there's evidence that indicates that more than half of the antipsychotic use in nursing homes is contrary to CMS guidelines. There is apparently a strong correlation between especially long-term antipsychotic use and mortality. There's a UK study that showed that residents taking APs for 24 months had a survival rate of 46% as compared to a survival rate of 71% for residents who were not who were taking a placebo. So these are very, very significant issue. There have been two black box warnings, one in 2005 and one in 2008. They have not significantly decreased the use of antipsychotics in this population. So this is just sort of an awareness raising, and I do believe that Stephen and Judy are going to try to work on developing a measure for NQF approval at some date. So I appreciate the time, and I appreciate you letting me go out of turn. Thank you.
Tom, I'll start with you going this way.
The only other thing that I'm thinking about, and again, in terms of global quality of life that we really never look at in this population, is sexual health.
What was that? Sexual health?
Sexual health.
I just want to make sure I heard it right.
Well, it's a topic, as a urologist, we deal with that a lot. It's a topic that we just really always kind of ignore in nursing home residents. So.
Bruce?
A global comment to NQF, not specifically related to this panel, which is I don't think we need to harmonize with the rest of the world, but it would be nice if we could pick a half a dozen key things that we want to measure in collaboration with the World Health Organization, because I think part of the pain of the debate we just went through was the sort of unwillingness to acknowledge where we are weak compared to the rest of the world and the inability to get access to data that everyone agrees is measured the same way vis-a-vis the rest of the world. Plus, I think they know a lot of stuff we don't know because they have better databases in some instances.
I think I would like to see, it was just occurred to me as we've been discussing things, some emphasis on the use of pharmaceuticals in many areas, for instance, controlling incontinence or stimulating appetite or antibiotic use, the antipsychotic use, we kind of, it's not mentioned in a lot of the measures.
Just in terms of our efforts to harmonize, in looking at some of the the proposals that came forward, the process in terms of really engaging the dialogue in a way that really fits the environment, I think that was a little frustrating, I think, for all of us, because I think they were really important measures, as we all agreed. So I don't know if there's anything that we can do to strengthen that process in collaboration with those organizations, but I think that the issue of harmonization is just so important.
I have nothing new to add. Helen, do you want me to mention that you have on the screen there?
I'll just preface it by saying that yesterday there was a specific mention of this measure that's already NQF endorsed called the Care Transitions Measure, developed by Eric Coleman with support from the Commonwealth Fund. And it turns out the measure is already endorsed at the facility level. It doesn't say specifically hospital. It specifically says facility. So it would be something that could be very appropriate for nursing homes. And we talked about how we could talk with Eric to maybe, you know, obviously modify the wording slightly on some of those questions. So when I left the nursing home, particularly for the short stays, and just wanted to get people's input. Mary Jane, is there anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I would just add one thing, which is as nursing homes become more and more post-acute care settings in which the ability to prepare patients to go out and back into their homes in the community and not then bounce back into the hospital is really critically important. And Eric's work sort of has boiled down the predictors of rehospitalization to three items. And they're all, what's interesting about them is they're items that are answered by the patient, not by a care provider. So I would urge us to sort of start to think about those as a way to look at the quality of the preparation that the post-acute care nursing home does to prepare people to be in the community and not bounce back at some point.
Helen or Susan, can we ask Eric to fill out one of these things so we can talk about it at a future call maybe, give some feedback on it relative to nursing home? Because yeah, the questions up there do say hospital.
Sure. Yeah, so it just went back through our care coordination committee and was just re-endorsed. So we'll just take that form and have them just do an addendum of if there are any specific thoughts about nursing homes. We'll bring that to you on your follow-up call because I think it's a really good opportunity for CMS and others to use something in the public space that's got such a good track record.
Thank you, Lisa, for everything. Very helpful. Good comments. Yeah.
I just had questions about communication. You know, I think CTM is a good way for facility and hospital communication, but actually the communication within the interdisciplinary team in the nursing homes and communication with physicians with the different levels of across disciplines.
I've enjoyed the meeting a lot. I would like to see a more formal structure in the voting so that if we see items that are important.
I'm going to come back and talk a second and get your feedback on the process of.
Oh, am I out of line here?
Yes, you're out of line.
You know, you're all great people. I'm really having a great time here, and
I'm looking for new measures and new other stuff. We're going to go around and get a chance to give comments on the process here and some feedback on the measure and everything.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I didn't tell you that's what was coming, so you didn't want to miss the opportunity.
I apologize. I'm going to be running too, but I don't have anything to add other than what I've already contributed today.
I'd like to add one more measure for consideration, which is timely and appropriate referrals to hospice.
Bill?
I think what I would add is not a particular measure, but thinking about, you know, the things that were described and mentioned yesterday was such a robust, much more robust addition to where we left off 4 years ago. And that's tremendously, tremendously helpful. But one of the things that occurs to me is that, I continue to like the use of the word harmonization in that concept. But harmonization is in the eye of the beholder. And so what harmonizes for NQF, what harmonizes for CMS, what harmonizes for public policy and regulators, what harmonizes for the consumer are different things. And so there really needs to be almost a preferential bias for in skilled nursing and in long-term care to advance those issues and measures that relate to quality of life, culture change, and so forth.
And I don't think I have any new measure to add, but I just once again, I think just in this process, I've been struck by how little information or how poor the information has been on usability by the public. And since public reporting is one of the mainstays of our evaluation criteria, I think we may want to figure out how to beef that up, how to beef up the evaluation criteria and how to have submitters beef that up.
Did you not listen to what I just said to Bob?
But you didn't stop me soon enough.
I have nothing to add. Thank you.
Christine.
We had a measure today about toileting behavioral interventions for people who were able to get themselves to the toilet. I'd like to see for a future measure looking at toileting programs for incontinent residents in general or any resident in nursing homes who have incontinence, and also to take advantage of some of the new items on the MDS that might help with that.
So now the same thing. I'll start in the middle with Bob. Go around, but just some of you gave it at the beginning, some feedback on just the because NQF has continued to revise and improve, I believe, the review process. And I think it's my fourth panel I've been through, and each one has been slightly different but gotten better. And so any opportunity to give some feedback on that broader process would be helpful and appreciated. And so I'll just quickly go around and get that feedback. So, Bob, go ahead. I think all of us getting the measures earlier and all the measures, take that off the table. We got that. Heard that. But go ahead, Bob.
I would like to see some formalization of other options to just voting up or down with and without recommendations. That is, tabling an item that needs improvement, directing a work group to come up with a better measure, something that would keep the measure in the process. The staffing issue, I think, is a perfect example. I think we all felt that was important. We don't want it to go away, but I'm not sure whether right now there's going to be an effort to bring back a better staffing measure. But I think that really should be, we should be able to vote on important, not ready for prime time, but go back, come back in 3 months with a better measure as a formal part of voting.
I would assume that most of us are more content-oriented and less scientifically oriented, and would be helpful for me in another round to have a scientist, statistician in the room who would actually explain to us and also be an advocate on our behalf rather than on the measure developers or anybody else, kind of a consultant that we can talk with about the scientific merit of these measures.
And just one follow-up point to that. We actually, for the Outcomes Project, for the first time, had a consultant statistician who did reviews on every measure. We didn't do it for this because they seemed like ones we sort of knew a fair amount about, but it may be something we'll do for all projects in the future.
I'm going to alternate back and forth. Arvind, process.
I thought, you know, this went very well. It's my first time, and this experience, you know, some of the things can be improved. I thought there should be a one-pager, you know, like rules, you know, in terms of, not more than one page, in terms of our evaluation and voting, just to explain the process, because we were learning as we were doing these. I think that'll be helpful.
I think the only thing that I'd add is that it wasn't, at least for me, it wasn't always clear in terms of all the 25 things that we looked at. The what was the concise feedback from the TEP? The and that would have been, to have that more clear, the would have been helpful in my own discernment.
This may have been said, I'm not sure, but I would have found the conference call that we had with the slideshow preparing us for this meeting to have been much more helpful after I had received the materials than before we got the materials, because it was very hard to track, and it didn't really mean anything. Once we got the materials, it would have meant a lot.
I think... Well, I only had one idea anyway. I think being able to write, to sort of follow up on what Mary Jane said, to be able to make comments on the form instead of going back and forth.
I've really enjoyed this. This has been my first time here. But I've kind of felt I had to learn as I went on some of this, and I think a little more preparation with some of the forms, maybe getting them ahead of time would help, because I think it's really very stimulating, and I've learned a lot. Very good.
I have to agree. It was my first time and learned as I went along. The information would have been a little more helpful. And I agreed on the voting, that if we knew that, we could have done maybe some other things and kept proposals there. So,
Just a couple comments. One is that it might have been helpful if, instead of up on the screen trying to scroll through everything, and it was really small and we could barely read it anyway, if there's some way to sort of summarize what the reviewer said and put that up there, and even maybe to think about summarizing some of the data from the technical expert panel, something like that. There's just too much to try to put up on the screen. So if there's any way to, you know, shorten that and put something up that's more meaningful. As far as, you know, other components of the process, I agree with... what Dr. Corin said about the conference call, that it would have been more useful if we had received some of the information first, because we really didn't know what you were talking about, for those of us who are new to this. And just some suggestions for that call would be maybe to sort of, number one, give us a better idea for the big picture. What is it we're trying to do here? Who are we going to be sitting in front of? Who are we going to be hearing from in terms of the presenters? I didn't understand any of that till I got here and saw it for myself. And also maybe even to just, on that call, kind of walk us through an example of how a primary reviewer should present the information.
what that should look like, what points should be made, and give us more, you know, by example rather than just presenting a bunch of data to us.
No, I just echo that comment. I think a model review presented during the conference call would have been helpful.
You know, I go back to the Ken Kaiser days in my involvement on and off with NQF. I think the results suggest that things went pretty well. I actually am leaving Washington feeling very, very good about even where there was not sort of unanimity, and even with some of the things with which I did not agree, I think the issues were actually explored quite well. And so I would not want the process to become constricting or a barrier to the flexibility we sometimes need to, for example, table things or whatever. So I was actually more comfortable with the ambiguity than some of what I heard today. If I were going to sort of offer a suggestion, you can work us harder. I think the indication that I've received in the past was expect to spend between 1 and 3 hours on each review that you're not a primary for, and that you're going to spend maybe more than that if you're going to check the references for the ones that you are primary are, because it is our job to check the references. Now, we know there were some barriers to that I'm not going to get into, although I think for the ones we were primary on, that was a non-issue. And so I wasn't even particularly disturbed by that. But I think when you set out the expectations, we're setting national policy. This is extraordinary work, and I'm honored to be here, and I think I think we should go home feeling pretty good. And when I get my next letter, I would not be upset if somebody said, you know, looks like it's going to be about 40 hours work to prepare for this. Are you willing? Because that's what I enjoy doing.
The only thing I would like to add is I think that especially it would have been nice if we would have had copies of the MDS 3.0 form and at least a reference manual to, I mean, I actually had a copy. I gave it to him. I don't want to take it home with me. I think for those that are not as intimately involved with that form, to be able to look at it to see where is this data coming from. And when we're looking at measures that are not related to the MDS 3.0, if some of that reference materials could be available for those that don't know where that source document is and what it means.
David? I know that we're off of the measures, but I just thought of one and I don't know quite how you would use it, but to think about, which is use of safe lift practices in nursing homes. I think it has huge impact not only for the quality of care for the residents, but I think it also has impact on staff. We know it's a pretty dangerous job. Back injuries and, you know, workers' comp are really big issues, and there are starting to be some really well-defined criteria for what safe lift practices are, and I think we should start to look at that.
Oh, got it. Well, I echo a number of these things, and I'm very grateful to a co-chair who had 4 times practice at this, and this was my first time also. So the prepping for this was a challenge with limited time. But anyway, very grateful to have the opportunity to work with you. You know, I have to only imagine that NQF has worked tirelessly on coming up with this form for people to fill in. And, boy, I don't have any suggestions for how to make it better, but I still found it hard to read that tiny little print. I wanted to get rid of the balloons so I could, you know, expand it, but you had locked it, I think, so I couldn't get rid of the balloons. You know how to accept the changes? Yeah, couldn't accept the changes. Yeah, but, you know, it maybe is an age difference, but it's, you know, we just really need things a little bigger these days. So anyway, just a suggestion about any continuing to improve forms.
I just want to take the opportunity to thank you both, David and Christine. That was just a very, very well done, smooth coordination, and wonderful sense of humor. Thank you very much.
Well, I too want to thank you all, but actually we're still not done. Sandy, you probably have a public comment. If I don't know you, I don't.
You don't know me.
Yeah. We need to go to public comment.
I have a few, and this is from this morning's discussion. I am concerned that we're not looking at UTI for the short stay population, only the long stay. And I'll tell you why. The inappropriate or misdiagnosis of UTI is a problem, not just for long-term care, but for other settings of care. And this is a transition of care issue, because we see a lot of patients coming in who have been put on an antibiotic in the hospital for a UTI, but we're seeing a lot of folks who are having hips and knees. And the post-op protocols call for the administration of an anticoagulant. And we know that we have problems between a drug-to-drug interaction between the antibiotic and the anticoagulant, and we should be picking this up earlier. So I would like to see some kind of measure that forces our attention on this in the short-stay population. My second issue is with a measure just discussed not too long ago, and that's the percent of residents whose need for help with daily activities has increased. I think this is important, but I really don't think that this means anything to the consumer, because this is why they're putting patients into the long-term care facility in the first place. They know they are watching a decline in their family member. They know that that decline is there. So to me, this is confusing to them. Now, if we flipped this measure, so now we're looking at the residents whose need for help with daily activities has maintained or improved, that would mean something to the public. And this is what we are talking about when we're talking about measures that are stated in the positive. So I do have a request that we ask CMS, when they're testing these measures, to see how many of these measures can be flipped, to see if they're still valid and reliable when they're flipped. And I'm doing so only because I have been assured by numerous sources that they would try to do this. Thank you.
Anyone on the phone for comments or questions? Other public members?
Yeah. Thank you. I'm Peter Gruen with the American Healthcare Association. There was a discussion earlier about outliers and risk adjustment with respect to the ADLs. And one thing that troubled me a little bit was, at least my take, was that facilities that may be specializing in a particular type of patient or so forth, we can overlook that in terms of the measure because there's not that many of them, and it's not may not be all that critical in terms of the measure and how we evaluate that facility. But I just submit to you that, you know, if this is, say, and then what's a sufficient number? Is it maybe 50, one in each state? That might be the premier center for treating traumatic brain injury folks or rehabbing them. Whether one looks at the QM for that, that they get skewered on it, how is the public to distinguish that facility from a facility that is not doing so well or not of a high quality and so forth? So I'd urge the panel and researchers to keep that in mind, look for appropriate risk adjustment for particular measures. And then a second piece on, there was some discussion on a number of the measures on seasonal adjustment and going from one quarter's worth of information to two quarters of information, doing a moving average as I understood it. In looking at the QM information on a quarterly basis from that CMS publishes with nursing home compare, for many of the measures, one can clearly see huge seasonality. Measures will go up or measures go down. Performance will look worse, let's say, in the first and second quarter, depending on the particular measure, and then decline dramatically through the year, and then bump up again the following year in the first and second quarter. A two-quarter average might help mitigate some of that variability, but it's not going to get down to the underlying issue, I don't feel, of smoothing out and adequately adjusting for the seasonality. Really, you might want to consider looking at a four-quarter average or some other methodology for making that type of adjustment. Thank you.
Any other comments from the public? CMS? Okay. Well, I want to thank certainly the NQS staff who put a lot of effort into this and assembling all the material, and particularly Suzanne, Dell, Emma, and Helen. Really was very helpful. So thank you. Court reporter in the corner is getting everything down for us. And the sound. I have to say I've been in many, many meetings, and the sound and the power strips and everything else really have been wonderful. It's one of the better ones I've ever been to, so I want to thank you for that. And then lastly, I'd like to thank you all, because you do have day jobs, and you know, despite Bruce wanting to spend even more time doing it, I think you all did really spend a lot of time and very thoughtful and took your role very seriously. And so I want to thank you and the feedback you gave. I enjoyed it a great deal, so thank you a great deal. I want to thank all of you for your effort. And our work is not done. We will continue to meet on by email and calls, so we still have some other work to do. And I think we set a really good tone. And it is exciting to set some national policy and everything. Christine, you want to say anything?
I think I said earlier thank you, and look forward to continuing to work with you.
And I believe lunch is out there. You can come in. We're not going to have a working lunch. We're not going to come back after this, because I knew if I released you for lunch, none of you would come back. So we did finish early. So thank you guys very much.